Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the safety you gave us on a fast trip, Lord, driving down on Friday, coming back yesterday late at night, and you kept us awake, you kept us alert, you kept the van running well, kept us safe on the road with rain and traffic. We thank you and praise you for that, Lord. You are our sustainer. Thank you for the marriage, Lord. What a beautiful ceremony, Lord. We know that you designed weddings and marriages and husbands and wives and families and homes, and so when I have a God-honoring wedding, Lord, that makes you the foundation of the marriage. That's a blessed thing. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the folks that are here today, Lord. We thank you for those who may be coming to Sunday school or the morning service. I thank you for their faithfulness. I pray we've all come today, Lord, looking at the great privilege of being part of a local New Testament body. Body of Christ and assembly coming together, Lord, as family, brothers and sisters in Christ, children, God's family, Lord, to minister, to encourage, to exhort. And Lord, I pray we've come today to worship you. And Lord, I pray we'd leave anything behind that would cause us from worshiping you properly in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we certainly want to pray for Pastor Cremart, Shane, Nathan, as they are filling pulpits, Lord, today, perhaps at Sunday school, perhaps a little bit later today, opening the Word of God in different congregations, Lord, that just maybe need encouragement, just like we do. Maybe visitors that need to be saved. And I pray you'd help these men, give them strength, give them safety if they're traveling on the road, keep their minds fresh, help them just to preach the Word of God, Lord. And would you anoint them with your Spirit? Would you use them to be a refreshment to the churches? We certainly pray there would be souls saved, Christians encouraged, folks taking new steps of faith, the church strengthened, and we thank you for the wonderful privilege to be able to send them out, Lord. Thank you again for your goodness and your love. We ask your blessing in the Sunday school hour, Lord. It's a systematic time of teaching children the Word of God. There's really no other time during the whole year during a church, Lord, where the young people and adults can be systematically taught like at a school, Lord, the Word of God, not just hearing random stories, but Lord, putting together week after week after week. We thank you for the teachers. We thank you for the privilege of having a Sunday school. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible or one in front of you there, borrow a pew Bible, if you'll find your way to Acts 14. We're going to finish up Acts 14 where we left off last week. Get into Acts 15. Some of you that may have noticed a new magazine, all right, you may have noticed I'm a firm believer in putting things out for God's people to take, read, understand. I can't make anybody do it, but God's people should know what's going on. Yes, the Bible's our number one source, but I think a lot of believers are not too many. You see a lot, just all they do is watch the news or listen to talk radio, and that has some nuggets in it, but largely not going to be Bible-based, or there may be some conservative people, all right? So try to give you resources here, things that have to do with education, Christian education from a Christian viewpoint, things that have to do with the world, looking at through Scripture, whatever it may be. We put out different things in different places. The sword of the Lord doesn't mean, you know, but this is a new one. I believe in putting good resources out. The Bible says my people were destroyed for lack of knowledge, primarily the Bible, but I think a lot of people just, I'm too busy to read. I'm too busy to know all those kind of things. Hopefully not. All right. So this is an excellent, this is one that has been an impact on me for years. It's called The Everlasting Nation. All right. I think they're right back there. I can't remember where I put them. Just like Sword of the Lord, we just get a certain amount and they're gone. They're gone. All right. Sometimes they're always there. Sometimes they're gone fast. We just get a limited amount. So I went ahead and paid for a year's subscription for our church. These only come out four times a year. Quarterly, come out four times a year. I think I got 20. So just put 20 out. When they're gone, they're gone. No more than one per family if you would like one. And this is put out by IBJM, International Board of Jewish Ministries, which is a mission board in Tennessee. You may or may not be familiar with it, all right? And if you're not familiar with it, you can get familiar by this or this year's missions conference, all right? Yeah, this year, 2024, all right? September, all right? We'll have the director of IBJM, Dr. Ed Frampton. Him and his wife will be here. He's the director of the mission board. And we've had missionaries, ministries we've been that are part of IBJM. We took a mission trip once in New York City with the Gibsons, who are up in Queens, and they're part of IBJM. And excellent. Now, I get this all the time now through email, but it's hard to read through email, so I said, can we get these? These are great. Obviously, I believe firmly in what the Bible says about God blessing those who bless and stand with Israel. All right? You may, and my motivation for our sign came from here. So you may not ever look at our sign. You may not drive in that way. But I was reading this on the email a couple weeks ago, and they had a great thing in the back. What can God do with a church sign? And so I was like, oh, that's good. So I put the same thing this guy did, all right? And if you're not, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, we don't have an electronic sign, so I couldn't put a Star of David on there necessarily, but believing is standing with it. Now, you know, when you put we stand with Israel, that sounds good, but you do have to give some explanation. I didn't put the... Does that mean that we agree with everything the Israeli government does? Of course not, all right? Do we agree with... We don't even know all that goes on. Most of us just get our news from wherever, all right? That doesn't mean that, you know, we stand with every single belief that they have and everything. Just like if we said, well, pray for America, God bless America. We know there's tons of problems in America and leadership and government. So when we say, as a Christian, we stand with Israel, or we put a sign and we stand with Israel, we're talking about standing with the Bible, what the Bible teaches about the nation, God's people, all right, a Bible basis, a biblical basis of why we stand. It doesn't mean we agree with every single thing. It doesn't mean that they do everything correctly. God will take care of all that, all right? But I believe in that. So again, we have missionaries, obviously, as you know, that we support, that whether in Israel or to Israel or for the Israel people. And we have there's several different good mission boards. IBJAM is an excellent one. And I think a lot of God's people get their news, unfortunately, just from where are you getting your news about Israel and Palestine and all that? I mean, how do you know what the truth is not? I mean, who are you getting it from? You're getting it from CNN, talk radio. And so, these are great. And so, again, some of you may get Israel My Glory, another excellent magazine. Don't agree with everything about Israel My Glory Mission Board, but excellent magazines to get to understand what God is doing in Israel, what he did in the past, who's right, who's wrong, what is Palestine, all these things. So this is excellent. These are just first come, first serve. You can take them, read them, but these are well done, and so I'm just taking a little extra time to let you know they're that good. That really is just one per family. They're just here till they're gone. You can get your own subscription if you wanted for a year. I think you get it free through email. I'm not positive on that one. They used to send them out free, but I'll just tell you, here's some of the little letters, and don't do this during Sunday school. I'm going to see you reading, all right? Rationales for anti-Semitism. The Last Passover in the Warsaw Ghetto. News of Israel in the Jewish World. Excellent testimony. I love the testimonies in here. A testimony of a Jewish man, Sam Rotman, Rootman. Jewish missions in the Philippines. A call for courageous Christians. There's great stuff in here. I got a chance to read all this, and it got me stirred up, so I contacted them about getting them. All right, so I believe putting good resources. Grab those. I think that'll be a help to you. And I hope you explain those things to your children if you have children, all right? Because they're probably getting some teaching in their schools, probably getting some teaching different ways about what's going on over there. You watch the news about campuses and what the kids that probably don't know even any clue what's going on, all right, about who's right, Palestine, Israel, the murder, you know, you hear all this stuff. You better know what's going on and understand. And so I encourage you to take a copy of that if you can. Read it. I think it'll be a help to you. All right, Acts 14, enough of that. We're looking, however, at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. You and I would consider one of the greatest Christians humanly of all time. We're not lifting Paul up above Christ. Christ is the model. Paul would say, remember, I'm the least of all. I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the least of all the apostles. And my past, oh my goodness, please don't uplift Paul. All right. Yet we can, obviously though, the Holy Spirit, God has given us a lot about the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul, great example of a Christian living for the Lord, all out, what God can do with one person, all right, more. And so we're studying the life and the ministry of the Apostle Paul, great missionary, some would consider an evangelist, was not a pastor really, never was a pastor necessarily, though he did the work of a pastor, but a missionary, evangelist, traveling, planting churches, preaching and sharing the gospel, making disciples, and, you know, those kind of things, writing scriptures that God gave him, all of those kind of things. And so we're finishing up the very first missionary trip that any New Testament church ever partook in, the church at Antioch. And that great church at Antioch there, sending out from the Holy Spirit two men, Barnabas and Saul, to go and reach the world with the gospel. Pioneer missionaries. Did they know what they were getting into? Perhaps. Perhaps not. All right. They couldn't research by looking up like you and I do for vacations or anniversary trips or surprise things. Let's go see. We're going to take a trip here. Let's see what there is to do. Let's look at websites. Let's read reviews. All right. TripAdvisor. Let's get some. We can plan our trip out perfectly, and we're going to do this on this day and go over here and do some sightseeing. This will be an off day. You know, we can do all those kind of things and talk to people. But what did you guys do? Oh, I heard you went on that trip. What do you recommend? All right. Well, nobody could do that on this trip, as far as we know. All right. Now, yes, Saul, the perfect man from Tarshish of Cilicia, that area, at least some of that area, he knew a little bit about. Barnabas, a man well-traveled from Cyprus all over. So they no doubt had some of that background that made them maybe right for the job. But the Holy Spirit chose them, sent them out. And we're picking it up at the very conclusion of this first mission trip. Probably took between a year or two. We're never given the exact timing, but based on, it's going to probably be a minimum of a year, somewhere between a year, year and a half, 2 years, they were gone, traveling, and you have maps, hopefully, in the back of your Bible that shows you the route that they took on that first mission trip. When you look at it on a map, it looks little. It don't look very impressive. It looks small. Looks pretty simple. We think, wow, if that was we could drive that pretty quickly. And it doesn't look like a lot, especially when you compare it to the second missionary trip. If you have a map that shows that, and you're like, wow, that one was really big as far as distance traveled and places they went. All right, but this was the first sent out, two men sent out. Initially, they had a third man, John Mark, a younger man. About halfway through or so, he went back home. And so now it's Paul and Saul. His name has changed to Paul and Barnabas. And we're in Acts 14. Let's pick it up in verse 19. Does anybody remember right now what town are they in? You can just shout out. I heard something. I think that you were just a little off. Anybody know? Lystra, I believe Lystra, all right? So beginning of the chapter, they were in Iconium, and they were sort of run out there. They were aware of what was going to happen, and so they had to flee. And so now they're headed to what would be Lystra, and every place they go, they preach the gospel. They preach the gospel. And so this is the town where Paul healed a lame man who had been lame or crippled since he was born, had never walked, all right? And he healed him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to authenticate. Whoa! And that caused a huge, not a ruckus or a riot, in the city. They were all, and they said, these men have special powers. In fact, these aren't even men. They're gods. They must be gods come down. You know, and they named them. You are Jupiter. You're like a Zeus, chief god. And Paul, since you're the main speaker, you're Mercury. Mercury, these are the gods in human form. And they were worshiping these two men. And they were going to have a big feast and maybe give them offerings and money. And Paul and Barnabas, no, we're men just like you. And then Paul doesn't necessarily preach, but he says there's only one God. We're not gods. There are no all these multiple gods of what the Romans would believe in the Greek mythology. There's only one God, and he speaks on Jehovah. One God who created all things, including you and I. And he gives that and says, and he calmed the people down as best they could. And now we pick it up in verse 19. And it seemed like everything was fine. And maybe they calmed down and they're okay. To where they weren't going to throw the feast and worship these two men. And it began to dissipate. Verse 19, I don't necessarily believe this is all the same day. In verse 19, though, there came thither certain Jews from Antioch. That's Antioch of Pisidia now. This is not the Antioch where the church was at. And Iconium. So previous cities that they'd been in. So these Jews have made the long trip to where they're at. They're following them. And they come to Lystra, verse 19. And what do they do when they get there? Who persuading the people and having stoned Paul. We're not given much detail, but was this a large group of Jews? I don't know. Was it a powerful group of Jews? I don't know. Were they rich and wealthy? I don't know. They must have been pretty... Whatever they did, they were able to get in the ear of the leaders. And remember, we said, we described what were the people of this region like. They were very known as very fickle, a word we don't use a lot today. I like that word, fickle. All right? It means you just back and forth. All right? One day you're this. I mean, you're never consistent. You know? One day they're the gods. The next day they stone them. All right? One day you're the, and you know, sometimes in ministry you got to be careful in that, right? Get a new person. How many? A lot of people, right? You come in and hear one good message. Hear one good, you know, you don't really know a lot about a person or background. It keeps you humble. I've told the story many times. I still get a kick out of it. We were at Union Grove. This was a church and school before Asheville. We were not involved in the church, really. I wasn't staff, but we were full-time in the school. And at that time, I think I was helping co-teach an adult class. There's another guy and I who sort of went back and forth teaching an adult Sunday school class. I guess I would have been like 25, 26 or something. And one Sunday, the other guy was speaking, and they asked me to fill in for another adult class, like the seniors, the older ones. It was a larger church. And so they said, hey, our speaker, you know, could you come down and just teach this Sunday to the, you know, the senior saints, whatever you want to call them, maybe 60 and up. So I said, okay. So I went down there, and not my normal niche. You know, I'm usually the teens or the kid, but I said, okay. And so I went down there, and I didn't even know who the teacher was, so I got my best, one of my lessons I'd prayed over, yeah, and I'm using the board, and I'm drawing out, I love Matt, I'm doing John 4, the woman at the well, and I've got it all up there. I think I went in ahead of time, and I had the whole board, you know, while we're showing Samaria, and I'm going, and man, I finished, and man, afterwards, I was a celebrity. I mean, all those, they're coming up there and they're acting like, they probably would have made me the pastor, all right? And, oh my word, that was the greatest of all time. That was, you know, and I was like, oh yeah. And all that, you know, and all those kind of things. And, ooh, you're the, we was a good people, but very fickle. And so you keep, and I did, and you know what? Someone came up and said, pastor, not Pat, I wasn't even a pastor. I was coach. They probably call me coach. That was a great lesson. That's the same one our teacher taught us last week. Oh, okay. I was like, well, but they came up acting like I was like, probably made him feel bad. Like, yeah, that was so much better. And I, you know, I learned not to get too puffed up, because that same group of people, though, that church and school were known for some challenges, all right, that they, you could turn on in a quick moment, you know, not to get too excited. Like, well, you're the greatest of them. No, I don't think so, all right. Nothing special about that. It was just a Bible lesson. Maybe I had a little more energy, but other than that, learned not. And so, boy, Paul, you're the gods. Here comes a group of people. Over time, they persuade them, and they end up stoning them. They change that quickly. That they stone Paul, they leave him for dead. The Bible says, verse 19, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples, verse 20, stood round about him, this would be anyone that had believed, followed the Lord, he rose up and came to the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. That's another city. So not a lot of information given there. We'd say, well, what did they tell these guys? What were they making? Maybe they came and did the opposite, right? Like Jesus. Now, these men aren't gods. These men have evil spirits. I don't know what they told them. The Bible doesn't tell us. Just like Christ. Oh, you're a demon. You're for Satan. I don't know what they told them. But if they were superstitious and they believed, they could have told lies. They could have said, these men, you can't trust them. Listen to what they did in our city. We're not told what they said. But whatever they did, they were able to persuade the leaders to completely turn on these two men. Specifically, Paul. Doesn't mean Barnabas was just sitting by idly, but he was the main speaker. He was the obvious leader there. They had the issue with Paul especially. And boy, they got him so riled up. That there was a riot, and they actually took Paul out and stoned him with rocks and stones and when it says here, supposing he had been dead, I personally believe he was killed. Now, that doesn't mean anything if you say, I don't think he does. That's perfectly fine. Nobody knows. All right? I believe he was. I believe he was killed. I believe that if they stoned him, they weren't going to just finish and be content. Now, could it be that they thought he was and they checked and there wasn't a pause? But it says they drug him out and they just left him there. They finished the job. All right? And they went into the city and they were content and that's it. And you got people standing around and they're maybe sad and they're crying, wondering what's going to do. And the Bible says that all of a sudden, he just gets up. He gets up and walks back, it says, into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derby. Now, I want you to hold your spot there because we're going to finish that chapter. I want you to turn a little bit to your right. Mark that with a bookmark if you have a bulletin or a pencil. Hold that there. We're going to come right back. But I want you to go to, I referenced this last week and I decided let's go turn and look at it. All right. So let's go to 2 Corinthians. So you're going to go a little bit to your right. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. And let's just, what does it only take? Maybe 5 minutes. I'm not interested in you know, picking two sides. If you think Paul died, you're over here. If you think he didn't, and you know, well, I don't, yeah, that's fine. All right, we're not really worried about it. Good people can disagree. Bible doesn't make it 100% clear, and you can decide what you think, all right? But what does Paul himself say about some things? Again, here's what happened. We can get so disgusting that, which really, it doesn't really matter, that we miss the main truths, right? It's like Vance Havner said. There are some people, I'm paraphrasing, who get so concerned about the sixth toe and the second leg of the beast, you know, he's all this stuff in the Bible about, right, that they, all they want to do is discuss all that kind of stuff. You know, the tenth head on the, and then they get, you know, what? They never even tell anybody about the Lord. And so we can get so focused on little things and that appeals to our intellect. You know, do you think he was? Do you think he wasn't? Did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Did Adam and Eve not have belly buttons? All right. You know, all these kind of things. Things you get in debates with kids in school, you know, having some fun. Well, did they? Well, they were created. They wouldn't have been in biblical court. You know, having some fun with kids. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? What was the, you know, was Paul dead? You know, I don't know. What the truth is this, though. He got up, went back in the city, and the next day he preached Christ. Wow, now that's a challenge to me because I could go out soul winning, talk to somebody, and maybe they make me feel like a fool. They say some stuff I don't know. My face gets red. They cuss me out, and I stop. That's the truth. Paul got stoned to death or almost to death, and it didn't even stop him. And he got up, and he went into the city, and the next day, he just kept on doing what he was going to do. Wow, now that's the challenge. But what did he say? In 2 Corinthians 11, if you've never really read this chapter carefully, at the end of chapter 11, Paul is spiritually bragging. But you have to know the book, and you have to know what he's dealing with here, all right? So we're just picking it up halfway through. You have to pick it up in chapter 9, all right? Because the Corinthian church, they like to brag. They like to compare. Now, I'm with Paul. I'm with Apollos. I'm with Peter. I'm with the Lord, all right? I've got more spiritual gifts than you do. My gifts are better. I speak in, you know, and they were always bragging and boasting and all this, and they would constantly compare themselves with each other, right? My little groups, so if you go back and read chapters 9, 10, you don't compare, he's dealing with some, and then they're attacking him being an apostle. They're attacking his apostleship, and he's going back, and so we're picking this up in the middle here, all right, toward the end, and he comes down in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, and you have to understand what he's doing, and he tells you three or four times that he's speaking foolishly. He's speaking foolishly. You got to understand that, all right? So look at verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, parentheses, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Verse 23, look at the parentheses. I speak as a fool. All right? Maybe you like when you do writing, you use parentheses. So Paul, you know, well, please, I am speaking tongue-in-cheek. I am speaking foolishly. I'm making an example of how people in the church of Corinth were doing. And so I have a purpose for what I'm about to say. So please understand, I'm speaking foolishly. However, if we're going to brag and would like to brag, and we're going to think that our credentials make us closer to the Lord, I'm going to speak foolishly now. And let's see how you compare. That's what he's doing. Verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. 100%. Are they Israelites? So am I. Be like having everybody on the stage. And then as we give the credentials, if you can't stay up here, you have to sit. And we'll see who's left. See who's left. You want to be Hebrews? So am I. Israelites? So am I. Seed of Abraham? So am I. Verse 20. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors? You work for the Lord? Really? Me? More abundantly. Oh, Paul, you're bragging. Let's compare. In stripes, being whipped, me, you have to put him in. Me more than you, above measure. In prisons, how many times have you been in prison for Christ? In prisons, me, more frequent. In death, how many times have you been close to death? Me, often. Again, you have to, hoping this is not throwing you off, you need to know exactly what he's doing and why. Go back and read 9, 10, 11. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. 5 times I was whipped by the Jews. And every time I was whipped, it was 39. 13 on the right side, 13 on the left side, right, left, 13 on the back. That's how they did it. Oh, but they stopped at 39. Romans didn't stop. 5 times I was personally whipped. Well, how about you? All for the cause of Christ. Verse 26. Three times was I beaten with rods. Heavy wooden rods, beaten. Once, here it is, once was I stoned. Now that's Lystra. Three times I suffered shipwreck. We're only given one in Acts. We don't only know of one. A night and a day. I've been in the ocean floating a night and a day for the cause of Christ. Verse 26. In journeys, often. By the way, who's still standing up here? How many we got? How many we got? All we do for the Lord. Well, let's compare ourselves like you do. I'm going to play your game. Really? In journeys, often. Perils of water, perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often, in cold and nakedness. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize. My calling of Christ. What makes you stop? Makes you, what, one person laughs at you? Somebody's rude to you at church? Somebody told you a little lie, a little slander? Get your feelings hurt? Somebody rejected the gospel, made fun of you? You messed up and slipped? Nobody said thank you? Paul says that's not even the heaviest. What's the heaviest? Verse 28. Beside those things, most of those are physical, mental, emotional. Those are all without. That which cometh upon me daily, the care, the burden of all the churches. All the churches. Look, I've only been a senior pastor for 3.5 years. I think of Pastor Cremard, 44. I think of Bobby Robertson at Gospel Light. Walkertown, what was he, like 70? Whoa. Church of like 2,000. Oh my goodness. How do they do that? More people, more problems. That's just one church. Paul says, I bear the burden of all the churches that I've planted. The care, the constant care and worry over the churches and therefore the letters and the constant visiting and all the problems I've got to deal with. The constant, oh my goodness. Now, we're not uplifting Paul, and Paul's not uplifting himself, because verse 29 he says, who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who's offended? Oh, how many Christians like to use that word? Who's offended and I am not burnt not? Oh my goodness. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. And you know what? Yeah, he finishes with a very humbling experience when he was had to leave Damascus in the early days in a basket. Now that's humbling. You have to flee the city like a thief, like a criminal, in a laundry basket. At night, like a coward. You say, Pastor, why are you sharing all that? Well, let's keep going. Chapter 12. It is not, however, Paul says, it's not expedient. It's not necessary, important for me. I'm not glorying. I'm not bragging. I'm the least of all the apostles. My past haunts me. Oh, if I could go back and erase what I did. How I hunted down Christians and oh my, we're blasting the name of Jesus. I'm still not finished. You want to brag and boast? You want to know what plagues me? How I could very easily think I'm the greatest? How about the fact that the Lord has given me special visions and revelations that he hasn't given anybody else? I mean, nobody, he didn't give that to anybody. He revealed to me the mystery of the New Testament church. He revealed to me all these things. And now here it is, verse 2. Now, if you read this, I have a purpose for all of this. We're going back. Paul is referencing what happened in Lystra. How do you know that? Well, careful study. You go back 14 years, you can see that's about where it is, between Acts 13 and 14. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. parentheses, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. I know this is going to probably throw some people off if you've never read this, but bear with me. Such an one called up to the third heaven. You say, well, who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man? Well, that's the answer. It's either someone else or it's him. He's just not using his name. Knew a man, and you say, Now, Paul himself basically says this. I'm not 100% sure myself, if you ask me. Paul, did you die? That's a good question. He might say, I'm not sure. I believe maybe I did. I can't. How does anybody know that 100%? It may have happened. It may not have. I'm not 100% sure whether I was in the body or out of the body. I can't exactly tell, but God knoweth. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And then he gets to that famous part where he says, if anybody wants to brag or boast, God gave me a thorn in the flesh to humble me, because you know what? I could eat. Look at all I've done. Nobody else has done all this. I'm the most faithful. I alone press for the mark. No, I got, God gave me a thorn. Oh. And we have that wonderful truth about my grace is sufficient, Paul, and you're affirming. Well, I say all to say this. Paul himself says, I'm not 100% sure, perhaps, whether in the body or not. Was it like John when he was taken to heaven and shown the heavens and he recorded in the book of Revelation? Am I seeing this? There's no magic here or sorcery. Paul saying, I was caught up to the third heaven. I basically was shown where God is, the heavens. Was I dead and the Lord took me there? Did the Lord just show that to me like he did sometimes people in the scriptures? I'm not 100% sure. He said, I don't know. I'm not going to decide on that. But he's talking about himself. And if you go back 14 years, that's exactly at that time period. And so most would say this, Paul's referencing the stoning here. Did he die? Did he not die? Whatever happened, we're not told a whole lot, and he doesn't dwell on it, and it's not that important to really dig on this and have to know. He says, never spoken on it or ever told anybody, and I was told not to. And it's not that important. Well, what did you see? What was it like? Come on. Unspeakable things not lawful for a man to utter. Now, today, we want to know about all that, and we can think of many, many books that have been written by people who said that they have died and gone to heaven or gone to hell or done all these kind of things. And they're very popular, and they come out and they make movies out of them, and people read them, and a lot of Christians read them. Big thing, a little kid, a boy, a young man, you know, and we sometimes believe all those kind of things. And it doesn't mean that the person doesn't believe that they saw it, but you got to compare a lot of things here. And Paul even says in chapter 11, Satan himself's transformed into an angel of light. Got to be careful. And someone says they saw certain things in heaven, but it contradicts the Bible, then you know that's not true. And then we say, well, if Paul was shown heaven and he didn't even speak about it and was told not to, what does that mean? Everybody else is allowed to? So I spend a lot of time on that, not to stir up things or to, no doubt you have questions and we could talk a lot about that. And I don't really have the answers. I'm just reading the scriptures there. You can certainly study a little bit on your own. But don't let that keep you from the most important thing, because that appeals to us. I don't know what he's talking about. In the body, out of the body. What's the third heaven? I didn't know there were more. Well, there's more than one heaven. Heavens refers, number one, to the atmosphere. God created the heavens and the earth. There's different levels of that, all right? The heavens, where does God live? In the heavens, all right? You could study that from your Bible. What does that mean, all right? So we could get on all that. It makes for a fun study. There's nothing wrong with that, but let's not miss the main point here. Did Paul die? Did he not die? I don't know. He was left for dead. He appeared dead. He may not have been 100% pronounced dead. He was left there. He was certainly, everybody else thought he was. So whether or not it was raised from the dead or raised from almost dead, God raised him up miraculously. Did he receive complete healing? We're not told. It doesn't appear that he drug himself or was walked. It appears that he just was healed, just like a lame man, no more lameness. That he was bleeding and bloody and God just healed him and he walked and he went into the city. And he spent time with the believers and the next day they said, let's go to Derby. And that was it. And he goes to Derby, and the next day, and he doesn't have any ill effects, it appears. Whatever, God healed him. and that he wasn't had broken bones and he didn't walk with a limp, and he went to the next city, and Lystra had to decide, are they gods? They said they weren't. We stoned him to death. Are they spirits? They preached Christ. Who are they? All right. The Jews had to wonder, what more can we do? We riled up everybody. We thought we had him. He's alive. He went to the next city. Do we keep chasing him? Well, let's find out. Go back to Acts 14 and let's finish up this chapter. I guess the question is, what would you have done? Would you say, I put in my time. I think I'm done. Hey, we already went to a lot of places. We're done. Nobody would think it's unreasonable if we quit. Everybody would say, we understand. You have a perfect right. No, I mean, of course you. I mean, come on. You've already been to Antioch City. You've already been through Cyprus. You've already been to Perga, Pamphylia. I mean, you've done lots. You've been gone a long time. You've been treated awfully. I mean, people, the great English here, I know. You've been treated horrendous. People have laughed and mocked you. The Jews are hounding you. You've been stoned and run out of town and threatened. It's perfectly understandable. No. We're not done yet. We're not going to leave Derby over here. We're not going all this far to not knock on that door. To leave three co-workers, the only three left. We're going to Derby. Then we'll finish. They go to Derby, and we pick it up there. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city. You know what I love? Nothing's changed. We're not changing our message. Here's why. Because we believe the message. You only change what you don't believe. Either the gospel is sufficient, and nothing has to be added or taken away from it. Either the gospel is powerful or it's not. And either he told us to do it or he didn't. And if we believe that, then that's what we do. We don't have meetings and say, all right, what do you think? Should we keep doing this? All right, do we think it worked? Do we have enough results? We don't have little meetings. We don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. We preach the gospel. He commanded us to do it. There was no other option. Go in all the world. We have not been to Derby. Doesn't matter if there's nobody saved, when you use words like that, or 50. Doesn't matter the response. Nobody came. Doesn't matter. Do we believe it? Is the gospel powerful? Remember, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said, Romans 1. It is the power of God unto salvation. And I don't think there's any doubt that he believed that with all his heart. Now, you might not disagree. You might say, well, I don't know about that. Good for him. There's no doubt that he believed that with everything he had. And we just read the list that would cause me and most everybody in this room to have stopped long ago. How many beatings does it take? How many whippings? Five? Five, really? How many getting offended does it take? I got offended. They offended me. Go, you know, I believe that with all my heart. Gospel. Here's the key. It transformed me. It transformed me. And therefore, I'm going to give the rest of my life giving it to others. And nothing but death will stop me. And we know that that happened. I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. And I have kept the faith. I guarded it. I did not water it down. I never compromised it. I never changed it. Well, you know what? We're not getting a good reception here. Let's just go in and give some good generic stuff. We don't have to necessarily tell them they're sinners. We don't have to preach hell. I mean, just keep it positive. Everybody likes that, right? Nobody runs you out of town when you're just keeping it simple. But if you're going to preach Christ, and everybody believes that. And so they go to Derby. They preach the gospel. You know what? We're never really told numbers because the numbers don't matter. They preached the gospel. It appears that people received Christ because it says they taught. Taught is different. Preaching the gospel, being evangelism is not the same as discipleship. Evangelism, soul-winning, witnessing all mean the same thing. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm sharing the story of the cross. I'm sharing salvation and sin and Calvary with the intent of seeing someone come to know Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. Teaching others also is completely different. That is the Word of God. That's the faith. That's the doctrines. That's the teachings. That's the teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. That's all that comes afterwards. Baptism. Why? What? Where? When? Church membership. Church attendance. What is the church? Tithing. Singing. Much tribulation. Serving others. God. I mean, all those kind of things that we're teaching them. They taught them also many. And then you would have thought, okay, we're done. We covered everything on the map. Check, 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 check. All right, let's get on the boat. Let's kick back. We need a little Mediterranean vacation. We got to go back. Go back? What do you mean? We got to go back and retrace our steps. What do you mean? We're done. We're not going to leave those new believers to themselves. They're babies. They're going to get eaten up. Well, I thought we're done with the mission. We hit every city. We gave out all the gospel. We're done with John and Romans. We covered Duryea. We're finished. We met the goal. Pastor, we're done. To all have heard. That's just the beginning, though. That's just a start. Not everybody was home. Not everybody. Well, we got to do more than that. We got to go back around. All right? Yeah, I know, but I. They go back to Lystra? Come on. Can you imagine me and Barnabas, some of these guys? I mean, Barnabas is an encourager, but... Paul, I don't think they're going to receive us good there. I think that Barnabas, going back to Lystra. And notice, it doesn't appear anything happened. They went back to Lystra. It doesn't say that they necessarily preached openly. They went back for a purpose. Let's find that little band of believers. 3 people, 25 people, I have no idea. Men, women, children. We're going to meet with them. We're going to encourage them in the Lord. And we're going to give them exactly what they need. And we're going to go. And they go back to Lystra. And they go back to Iconium. And they go back through Antioch and Pisidia. And what do they do as they go back? Verse 22. This is different than the first time they went through. The first time they pass through, it says every time, they preach the gospel, preach the gospel. But now they're returning back, and it's believers, just the believers, basically. Going back to the believers, and what are we doing? Verse 22, we're confirming. That word means to strengthen. We're confirming the souls of the disciples, those who received and trusted Christ and were growing, and exhorting them, strongly urging them to continue. Notice, this is one of the hardest things to get believers to do. Sometimes we'll be satisfied. Hey, we had 5 kids saved at Bible school. I know. But where are they? We had 3 saved at revival. I know, and that falls on all of us. But where are they? I know it's, we got to find, you got to go get them. You got to knock. You got to visit. You got to get to the homes. You got to get them in. You got to talk to the parents. I mean, you got to, yeah, but they won't. But we have to try. They went back and they confirming. And notice, you've got to continue now. It's so easy to start and like flash in the pan. All right, but what you got to continue in the faith. All the doctrines. Remember the faith. We spent a lot of time on the faith from the book of Jude. The faith. The doctrines of the Word of God. The teachings. I've kept the faith. You've got to continue in those, though. There's going to be hard times. And do you see the last message there? We'll finish with this. Our time is up. And that we must, who's we, believers, must through much tribulation, trials, persecution, loneliness, offense, enter into the kingdom of God. It's part of being a believer. Notice, there was no hiding it. Expect it. Are you ready to be abandoned? Are you ready to be lonely? Are you ready to have people misunderstand you? Are you committed to the cause of Christ? That's part of their teaching. Not keep it easy, it's going to be great. No, no, no. You are the body of Christ. God needs you. Come on. I mean, we're going to encourage you. We're going to urge you. Stay true. A lot of temptations, immorality, false gods, a lot of things around here. Hey, we can't be here with you. We're going to leave. Hang in there. You can do it. God's given you. All right? And they confirm them, and they move on. Verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every church, we're going to establish some pastors in every church. Come on now. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll see you again. We're going to do our best to get back. They leave, they prayed, gave them to the Lord, made their way back to Antioch for the first little missions report of what God did on that first mission trip. Wow, God, help me to be that faithful. Lord, help me not to be so easily offended, so quick to quit, so prone to grumble. Oh, wow, Lord, do I really believe that what I have is the saving power of the gospel and that Christ has commanded me to do so? Praise the Lord.